This morning we're going to be looking at creation. And because we're all together for the whole thing, it'll be a little bit more interactive than maybe some of you were prepared for. But go with it, because you never know what you might find. So my first question to you is, if you could be an animal, any animal, what animal would you be and why? Oh, you see, I'll give you just a few. Oh, we have one already, yes. See, I agree. A cat, they just do what they want, sit and do nothing if they want. Wonderful, yes. Anyone else? If you could be, a monkey? Yeah, swinging. Swinging is a good thing, I think. Anyone else? Some of you are thinking really hard, like this is a really intellectual question. No more, yes. Oh, okay, yeah. Human beings are, I mean, yeah, they're fairly good. I'd say yes. Yes? A dolphin. Oh, why is that? Okay. A dolphin. Yeah, they do, don't they? Oh. That's not so nice for them, is it? But, you know. Anyone else? A bee. Oh, okay. Oh, that's nice. And bees don't go out to intentionally sting people, do they? Like wasps. No. Anyone else? One more, maybe. An otter. Oh, that's a good one. You see, everyone wants to be an otter. Oh, wonderful. Okay. We could pretend that we want to be various creatures. Human beings are good, that's what we are. But God created all these things and many more. And when Jesus was sitting looking at Jerusalem, he said, if people didn't sing out and worship God, then the rocks and the stones would sing out and worship God. Because God created all things. And they sing out and they worship him in their different ways, not just with voices, but by the things they do, by the way they look. We're going to be looking at Psalm 8 this morning. I'll be reading bits during the service. And it starts by saying, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And this morning, as human beings, we're going to stand and worship God together, joining with creation that worships him each day, joining with those who we're no longer with, joining with all who worship God. So let's stand together and I'll pray. So let's stand and then I'll pray and then we'll sing our first hymn together. Father, I just want to thank you that this morning we can focus on your creation, not because it is more wonderful than you, but because it shows little signs of your handiwork, of your craftsmanship. And because you created it and we are part of it. And Lord, as we look at your creation, the things that you've created and made, we ask that our eyes will be lifted to you at your greatness, at your wonder, and that we would be able to worship you with our lives this morning. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As there's only few, maybe as we sing our first hymn together, we can... So we think about creation this morning. We said what animal we would like to be. Many of us mentioned different varieties, some that fly, some that swim, some that swing, some that sit and do nothing and do what they want. Lots of different animals in creation. We're going to watch a short clip of video in a moment, which comes from The Blue Planet. I don't know whether anyone ever saw it when it was on television. And it just shows something of creation. And as we think about this and watch this, it's just amazing to see the wonder that is around us. So let's sit back and watch this bit of video. Creation is amazing, isn't it? I mean, we just have to look around us each day and see different things which amaze us, whether it be things that are in front of us in Cottenham or things that are around the world that we see on telly or high in the sky that we watch a programme about or under the sea. We look around us and we see how amazing creation is. But what about the things that we can't see? A few years ago, Simon and I went to Austria to do some walking in the nice weather. Turns out it rained the whole time we were there. So we decided, forget the walking, can't see the mountains anyway. Let's do something different. So we went on a trip into the mountains, inside the mountains, to see some ice caves. We went deep into the mountains and looked at what was inside them. And it was amazing. Ice that was shaped in many different shapes and sizes. Tiny little spaces full of amazing creations. And then as we walked through, we came out into a huge cavern that was massive, created by water over years flowing through it and turning into ice. Apparently they sometimes had concerts in there. They'd got classical music playing as we walked around, which added to the atmosphere. Lights were shining off the ice. And then we walked into another room and there was a waterfall inside the mountain, surrounded by ice. And as we were going round, the guide was saying that there were hundreds of these ice caves that people could see, and even more that people couldn't see, that they couldn't get to, but that still existed inside the mountain. And I thought, how amazing that God has created these things which no one might see, but which are so beautiful inside mountains. Creation is amazing, whether we can see it in front of our eyes or whether we can't. And it's all set in motion by God himself. And the psalm that I read from the beginning continues and it reflects this. It says, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what are mere mortals that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? Or in other words, when I consider the world, the universe, when I think about creation, the stars, the heavens, the planets, the universe, all that I can see and all that I can't see, and I consider that it was made as if by the fingers of God. How great must be our God. How great must be our God. And how small human beings seem in comparison to that. Do you know, I was reminded of this because in the week, our nephews came to stay with us for 3 days. So we were trying to find things for them to do, as we asked many of you. And a wonderful suggestion came to us to go round the museums. Thank you, Rachel. It was a great time. Because at the museums, you can collect these top trumps cards. And they've got lots of different things from creation that kind of you can play top trumps with at the end. But the exciting thing is that each museum in Cambridge has got a set of these. And so you go around and you get a set from that museum. And then if you've already got, like, duplicates, you can do swapsies. There's a swapsies box. And then if you see other children, because it's normally children that are doing it, in the museum, you can go and say, oh, have you got this one? Very exciting. In fact, the museum become a bit redundant because the cards are so exciting. It was a little bit embarrassing because our nephews were like, can we go and ask the lady for swapsies? And I'm like, we need to be looking around the wonderful things in the museum. We want swapsies. Okay. But they gave me 3 cards, which amazed me and which I will show you, which will appear. The first one is this. These are actual things that were in the museum. There was a meteorite in one of the museums, which is 4,600 million years old. I thought that's amazing. That is actually in the museum. The card was amazing, but the real thing was even more amazing. And then there was this. We didn't actually go here because the next one, there was a small charge. But we were doing free things that day, so no, we didn't go there. But here we are, the redwood, which is not quite as old, 60 years old. But I thought, you know, that's not bad, is it, for a tree? Amazing bit of creation. And finally, we saw this, a dinosaur, which I thought was quite good because it had a special weapon, which was a spiked thumb. Get that? How does that work? With all those teeth, I've got a spiked thumb. Anyway, this was 125, a lot of years old as well. And I just thought, going round, how amazing are all these things? We look around and we kind of take them for granted. And yet, in the Bible, it says that all of these things are contained within God. God is bigger than all of these things. And he created these things with his fingers, if you like. Our God is amazing. And how small in comparison do we as human beings seem? And you know, this point was brought home to a man in the Bible a long time ago. A man who was having quite a hard time. I'll give you a clue. His name was Job. Things weren't going too well for him at the time. In fact, he lost his family, his home, his wealth, his wife, his health, and most of his friends. And so he decided that he was going to confront this God of creation to say, why? Why is my life going so wrong? In fact, he was not going to confront God. He was going to demand that God answer him. And so Job questioned God again and again and again, not just once, but 34 long chapters of questioning. And each time he said, okay, God, I want an answer. I demand that you come and answer me. Of course, God was quiet. He had three very helpful friends who kind of told him he should stop questioning God. Maybe die would be helpful, some of them suggested. But Job continued, no, I want God to answer me. God created everything. I want him to come and answer why my life is going wrong. I demand an answer. But God was silent. And Job kept questioning. And then finally, God answered Job. And here is what he said. I want to read a few bits of this. And you might want to just sit back and listen to what God said to this man, Job. He said, first of all, who is it that questions me? Who is it that demands that I answer? Now I want to question him. So God says, where were you when I made the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off how big it should be? Surely you know. What were the earth's foundations set on? Or who put its cornerstone in place? Who did all this while the morning stars sang together? Who did this while the angels shouted with joy? Who shut the doors to keep the sea in when it broke through and was born? This was when I made the clouds like a coat for the sea, and I wrapped the sea in dark clouds. Have you ever given orders for morning to begin? Or have you shown the dawn where its place was? At dawn, the earth changes like clay being pressed by a seal. The hills and valleys stand out like folds in a coat. Have you ever gone to where the sea begins, or have you walked in the valleys under the sea? Do you understand the great width of the earth? What is the path to light's house, and where does darkness live? Can you take them to their places? Do you know the way to their homes? Have you ever gone into the storehouse where snow is kept, or have you seen the storehouses for hail? How do you get to the place where light comes from? Or where is the place from which the east winds are scattered over the earth? Who cuts a waterway for the heavy rains? And who sets a path for the thunderstorm to follow? Who waters the land where no one lives? Who waters the desert that has no one in it? Who sends rain to satisfy the empty land so that grass begins to grow? Does the rain have a father? Who is father to the drops of dew? Who is mother of the ice? Who gives birth to the frost from the sky? Who gives food to the birds when their young cry out to God? And who gives them food when they wander about without any? Do you know when the mountain goat gives birth? Do you watch when the deer gives birth to her fawn? Do you count the months until they give birth? Are you the one who gives the horse his strength? Or do you put a flowing mane on his neck? Do you make the horse jump like a locust? Are you the one that commands the eagle to fly and builds his nest so high? The Lord said to Job, "Will the person who argues with God all-powerful correct him? Let that person who accuses God answer him." Then Job answered the Lord, "I am not worthy. I cannot answer you anything." Our God is an amazing God, all-powerful, wonderful creator. And in comparison, we seem so small. And yet we can come to him with any of our needs. He is an amazing God. Creation is a tiny way which shows how great our God is and how small we are in comparison to him and in comparison to creation. And yet, God places great emphasis on us, on human beings, this tiny part of all he has made. Our psalm continues by saying, "You have made humans a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned them with glory and honour. You made them rulers over the works of your hands and put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals in the wild and birds in the sky and the fish in the sea and all that swim the paths of the seas." In other words, although human beings are a tiny part of creation, says the psalmist, you have placed them in a position of great importance. You have placed us in a position of great importance. I want to read you a story which shows this. It is a children's... I love that story. Percy the Park Keeper. Looking after the animals, taking care of what was in his ken. And you know, just like Percy the Park Keeper, although we're fairly small in comparison to all that is around us, we've been given a place, a role, a job to perform while we're here on earth. And just like Percy the Park Keeper, that is to look after, to assist, to take care of what is around us, the things that we see, to steward our world well. Now, I've got something to show you. I'm not very good at looking after things. This here's a plant that my husband gave me to put on the windowsill in my office to keep me cheerful. I watered it, and I opened the window, and I started to pull off the dead bits. But then it all died. Although, I'm feeling there's hope. I'm not very good at looking after things. Everything that I'm given like this survives for a certain length of time and then tends to die. I'm tempted to say that this whole looking after the world that we're given is not something I can do. I mean, I'm never going to work for Greenpeace. I'm not going to assist David Attenborough. And I'm tempted to say, this is a job for someone else. It's not my skills. Look, I kill plants on the windowsill. How am I supposed to look after what is around me?
Maybe my job is to just concentrate on leaving as small a carbon footprint as possible, as little damage as I can, so that I leave the world as unscarred as possible. But you know, having read the psalm we read today, that doesn't really seem to be an option to me. We are placed here as human beings, not to just enjoy what is around us and then leave, but to be active, to have a good influence on the world, to reflect God in how we treat each other and treat the things around us, to look after people and animals and plants, our world, to enable others to see what God has created in the best light it can be seen. And whether we do this well or whether we do it badly, this is what we've been called to do. We're not here to just enjoy and leave. We're here to make God known by the way we treat our world, by the way we look after our world, by the way we bring the best out of our world. Because although we're a tiny part of what has been created, we have a very important role to play. So surely our aim should not be to leave as small a carbon footprint, as small a damage as possible, but it should be to see how positive an influence we can have on our world, to make it the best environment it can be, so that others can look at it and their eyes can be lifted to God as they see the wonderful creation that he has made. We're going to spend a little bit of time in prayer, but we're going to do it a little bit differently this morning. Hopefully you'll have one of these.
Father, we thank you for our world. We thank you for what you have given to us. We thank you for the wonder of your creation. But we know, Lord, that in many places, in many areas, there is much brokenness and ruin. And we lift these prayers to you that we have written and thought about, prayers that we have symbolically stuck on this world. And we ask for your healing in the brokenness. And we pray that you would place upon us the great responsibility, the knowledge of that responsibility, to make this world the best it can be, to create a wonderful environment that others may see its true beauty and look to you and worship you. We thank you that you've given us such an amazing environment, and we pray you'd forgive us where we have just taken it for granted and used it as a place to be. We ask you would help us to change our mindset and to act differently. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. But of course, our world is not the only place in which God creates and moulds and shapes. He also longs to do it in our lives as well. God isn't just a God who created and then that's it. But he's a God who recreates and remoulds and reshapes. And so in a moment, we're going to sing our final hymn, during which you're invited, if you would like, to get out of your seats and make your way over to this table over here, where we have some little pots, a little bit of soil, and some cress seeds. The invitation is to respond to God and to say, yes, I want to look after what you have given. Make it the best it can be. And I also want you to work in my life. And as we say that, to walk and to plant some little cress seeds and to take the little pot away with us. And each morning, it will be a reminder of God's continuing work in our lives and our responsibility to our world. Of course, you don't have to do this, but it is just a way in which you can respond to God that you can take with you. So we're going to stand, we're going to sing our...